Welcome to podcast recorded live at the Center for Spiritual Living in Portland, Oregon. We have many resources available for our online audience on our website at csoportland.org. Our mission is to open hearts, ignite minds, and make a difference. If you'd like to support our center and its video podcast, you can donate online at csoportland.org. Allow us to become part of your extended spiritual community. Wherever you are on your spiritual journey, you are most welcome at the Center for Spiritual Living. For more information, visit csoportland.org.
Welcome to Portland Center for Spiritual Living. I'm Reverend Bridget McCann. My pronouns are she and her. I am the Senior Minister and Spiritual Director here at the Center, and I am so happy to see all of you. And welcome to those who join us in our virtual community space as well. You are a part of us. So how many in the last few days or so have felt some sort of fear about something? Okay, good, I'm not the only one. There seems to be so many things that can cause us fear. Just some of them might be fear about the economy and what it means for our own financial well-being. Fear of illness and pain. Fear of dying. Fear of dying alone. Fear of failure. Fear related to increasing global instability and the rise of fascism and authoritarianism. And for many of us, women, people of color, queer folk, immigrants, refugees, the fear of being erased. And children and young adults are not immune to this fear. Many of them are afraid of global climate change and what it means for the earth and life on earth, what it's going to mean for their children. Many children today in this country are afraid that when they come home at the end of the day from school, their parents will not be there. And children all over this country and their parents live with the fear of school shootings. A friend of mine has a young daughter in first grade, and she shared with her daddy that she likes fire drills. Those are fun. Active shooter drills, those are not fun. She explained to her daddy that we had to hide under our desk. We had to be very still. And most importantly, the teacher says, don't say a word. Don't make a sound until that voice comes on the PA and lets you know it's safe to come out. Those are scary, Daddy. And to all these fears, some people unfortunately live with this old concept of a punishing God. Some God out there that's kind of watching your every move and keeping track, keeping score, and most likely you will not live up. And that this same God will condemn you to a not pleasant everlasting life hereafter. No wonder so many of them feel hopeless and inferior and like I'm never good enough. And a lot of people that feel that way turn that on to other people out of some misguided attempt to alleviate their own sense of inferiority. And then all that does is take us further and further from the true divine ideas of love and harmony. all these fears that we live with. Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. wrote in his sermon, Antidotes for Fear. Now, remind you, this is in the early 60s, but I think these words still resonate today. And these days of catastrophic change and calamitous uncertainty, is there any man who does not experience the depression and bewilderment of crippling fear, which, like a nagging hound of hell, pursues our every footstep? Almost without being aware of the change, many people have permitted fear to transform the sunrise of love and peace into a sunset of inner depression. This from a man who faced fears that most of us cannot even imagine. Daily threats against himself and his family, the bombing of his home when his family was in it, many unjustified imprisonments, and his words, racial annihilation. And yet, this man carried on to, as the song says and Ari sang for us, to let God use him in spite of his fears, very real fears. So how did he do it? How did he go forth and be what he knew he was meant to be in spite of the fear? Well, we turn today to that sermon of his, Antidotes for Fear, for lessons and inspiration on how to overcome our fear and carry on. First, he tells us that we need to examine our fears. Now, fear is a natural part of life. It's our natural alarm system. It is there to keep us safe. So we don't want to entirely do away with fear. We need it to survive. Fear is also a great causative or creative agent. After all, it's the fear of darkness that led humans to discover electricity and eventually invent the light bulb. It's the fear of pain and illness that has led to so many incredible advances in medicine. And it is the fear that we might be alone in the cosmos that has led to space exploration. So fear is good in many ways. Now that said, some fear is just completely nonsense. Jerry Seinfeld, the comedian, said, according to most studies, people's number one fear is public speaking. Number two is death. Death is number two. Does that make sense? This means to the average person, if you go to a funeral, you're better off in the casket than giving the eulogy. Yeah, so we need to take a close look at our fears and examine them. As Dr. King says, let us remember that more often than not, fear involves the misuse of the imagination. Our founder, Ernest Holmes, said the only place that fear can exist is in our thoughts of the future. It is a product of our imagination, causing us to fear things that do not at present and may not ever exist. So yes, we need to take a look at our fear. Now, how might we do that? Dr. King doesn't tell us how to do this, but I have a couple ideas. Have a conversation with it. Like, seriously, have a conversation with the fear. Ask it questions like, are you real? Like, are you pointing to a real danger? Or are you just something that my mind's making up? Why are you here? Where do you come from? This kind of conversation with our fear will illuminate those fears that are nonsense and irrational. And very often, once identified as irrational, we find that they evaporate. Go, oh, I can let that one go. Now, if the fear is still there, the next antidote for fear that Dr. King points us to is courage. Now, he's not talking about the kind of courage that would have you just race off with no forethought or recklessly into a dangerous situation, the kind of courage that is often portrayed in movies and novels. He's talking about the kind of courage that is a supreme virtue. The kind of courage that lets us act in spite of those things that might threaten our very existence or even our beingness. Of this kind of courage, Dr. King writes, "These forces that threaten to negate life must be challenged by courage, which is the power of life to affirm itself in spite of life's ambiguities. This requires the exercise of a creative will that enables us to hew a stone of hope from a mountain of despair." He's talking about an intelligent courage or a well-informed courage, the kind of courage that knows what is worthy, the kind of courage that knows what is worthy of being affirmed and that affirms us so that we can act in spite of the fear. Now, how do we build this courage? Again, Dr. King doesn't tell us how. I learned in studying this sermon that Dr. King was great at telling us what to do, so we need to apply it into our teaching to try to figure out how we can do it for us. How can we build courage? One way we can do it is we can look at that term that King used, creative will, and apply it in the sense that will does not mean forcing something. Will is not a strong will, just go, go, go. No, for us, where we teach that we are co-creators with the Spirit, that we have creative powers, creative will means to declare a thing as so. So we can be courageous or build our courage by declaring that we are courageous. Next, we can build our courage by being courageous. I know that sounds a little ridiculous, but if you think about it, courage is like a muscle. The more you exercise it, the stronger it gets. If we can find just a little bit of courage to start a thing, we will have the courage to finish the thing. If we can find a little bit of courage today, we will have more courage tomorrow. Eleanor Roosevelt said, "You gain strength, courage, and confidence by every experience in which you really stop to look fear in the face. You are able to say to yourself, I lived through this horror. I can take the next thing that comes along." The next antidote to fear or to overcome fear is love. And here Dr. King wastes no time. He goes right away to the heart of the matter. Hate is rooted in fear, and the only cure for fear, hate, is love. And he explains that those things that outpicture as hate really start as fear. For instance, he says, look at international conflicts and wars. It looks like one nation attacks another nation because we hate them, but it's really fear. It's one nation fearing that another nation is superior, that they have a stronger army, that they have a more powerful, robust economy, that they have superior technology and science. And because of this fear, we hate, and because we hate, we have conflict and war. He next applies this to racial injustices. explaining that what is really underlying that hatred is fear. White people fear losing their privilege. White people are afraid that if black people gain full equality and justice, that they will use it to seek retribution and retaliation against white people. It is that fear that leads to the hate that perpetuates the continuing racial injustices. So we need to take a look at that. Next, he applies this to our own personal anxieties, our feelings of inferiority, our lack of confidence, the fact that we envy other people. All of these are rooted in fear. Fear that other people are superior to us, our fear of failure, our fear that those people that we respect and admire might somehow disapprove of us. Love is the only force that can overcome all these fears. In fact, his entire sermon is based on the passage in 1 John chapter 4. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear is tormenting. And because King knows this, he writes, "Hatred and bitterness can never cure the disease of fear. Only love can do that. Hatred paralyzes life. Love releases it. Hatred confuses life. Love harmonizes it. Hatred darkens life. Love illumines it." We very often hear that God is love and love is God, that the two are synonymous. There is no fear or hatred in God. So there is no fear or hatred in love. When we learn to see other people as God sees them, it'll be impossible for us to fear them. It'll be impossible for us to hate them. And when we love those who fear and hate us, that love is transformative. That love not only affects our own souls and our own actions in regards to them, but it affects them. It's like this invisible, magical power, like the transmission of radio waves or chemical signals between trees. We don't see it at work, but it works. Our founder, Ernest Holmes, put it this way: love overcomes both hate and fear. However, love does not overcome hate and fear through controversy, argument, or force, but by a subtle power of transformation, transmutation, and sublimation. It is invisible in its essence, but apparent through its act. Love overcomes fear and therefore overcomes hate. Next, and finally, of course, Dr. King says if we want to overcome fear, we must have faith. He writes, "A common source of fear is an awareness of deficient resources and of a consequent inadequacy for life. All too many people attempt to face the tensions of life with inadequate spiritual resources. We attempt to confront fear without faith." Now, what kind of faith is he talking about? He's talking about the kind of faith where we know that God loves us, God cares, and we are not alone. The kind of faith that gives us the inner resources we need to carry on in spite of the fear. Here, Dr. King tells the story of a particularly difficult week. It was during the Montgomery bus boycott. He had been imprisoned. He had received numerous threatening phone calls but he had to give a speech to a large crowd. And despite feeling internally depressed and full of fear, he got up there and he spoke, trying to convey strength and courage. But there is at least one woman in the crowd who could see right through it. An elderly woman that they all affectionately called Mother Pollard. She could tell he's not on his game. So she went up to him afterwards and said, "What's wrong, son? There's something not quite right in your speaking today." He tried to convince her that he was fine, that all was well. She could see right through it. So she asked him, "Is it that we're not doing enough to support you? Are the white people bothering you?" And before he could answer, she said, "I done told you we is with you all the way. But even if we ain't with you, God's gonna take care of you." And he received that message. He felt that warmth. And he immediately felt better. His faith was renewed. And he writes, "Since that dreary night in 1956, Mother Pollard has passed on to glory, and I have known very few quiet days. I have been tortured without and tormented within by the raging fires of tribulation. I have been forced to muster what strength and courage I have to withstand howling winds of pain and jostling storms of adversity. But as the years have unfolded, the eloquently simple words of Mother Pollard have come back again and again to give light and peace and guidance to my troubled soul. God's gonna take care of you. We need not fear. God's got our back." So how do we acquire this faith? Or if we had it and we lost it, how do we go back and get it? Some of you must have heard the message last week. How do we go back and get those qualities of the divine mind, of strength, peace, serenity, and wisdom? Daily communing with the presence. This is why daily spiritual practice is so critical, that daily meditation and prayer. So when we have fallen out of alignment with those divine qualities of peace and wisdom and strength, we can go back and get them and have the courage it takes, have the faith, the inner resources. So I encourage you, the next time fear comes knocking on your door or on the doorway of your mind, don't pretend like it's not there. Don't try to send it away and act like, "No fear, no fear, no fear." No. Invite it in. Have a conversation with it. And if the fear is still there after the conversation, take courage. Shower it with love. And have faith that God's gonna take care of you. That is how we overcome the fear. That is how we carry on despite the fear. Let's pray. I invite our practitioners and ministers to stand and take this prayer into their consciousness. I start with absolute gratitude for and faith in that thing itself, that one life. That one power and presence that at some point declared, willed within itself to express itself. that power and presence that declared there is light and there is light, that declared there is life and there was life, declared that there would be this magnificent cosmos with planets and galaxies and black holes and dark energy, always and always creating and creating and recreating. And so it is. And that one power and presence in that one life that called me forth, that called forth each and every individual within the sound of my voice here today or at some distant moment in the future. And I know that it called called us forth because it has need of us to know itself. Some wise sage years and years ago said, "We are star's way of knowing itself." Think about that. We are star's way of knowing stars. There's beauty in that, and there's peace in that. There is creativity and gratitude in that. And being aligned with those qualities and those truths, we are courageous. We are sourced from within. We are sourced by those stars, by that sun, by Mother Earth, by water and air, by the divine itself that is even closer to our being than our own heartbeat. And in that we have faith. Faith to get us through the fear. Faith that would have us affirm ourselves and others in spite of our fears. How good it is to know this. And so I give thanks, and I let it go, and I let it be, and so it is.
We hope you enjoyed today's podcast. If you happen to be in the Portland, Oregon area, we'd love to have you visit in person. The Portland Center for Spiritual Living is located at 6211 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard. Our inspirational service is at 11 a.m. every Sunday. We also have many programs, classes, and workshops developed just for our online audience. To find out more, go to our website at cslportland.org and look under the online tab. We have a variety of content dedicated specifically for our podcast listeners. Our mission is to open hearts, ignite minds, and make a difference. If you'd like to support our center and its podcast, you can donate online at cslportland.org/donate. Our website is also the place to learn more about what's going on at the center or to contact us. Allow us to become part of your extended spiritual community. Wherever you are in your spiritual journey, you are most welcome at the Center for Spiritual Living.